you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, May 21st, 2018. Woo! I'll give you a whole recap tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends about our trip to the Creation Museum and the Ark experience. Had a full bus, a great group of people, enjoyed ourselves, learned a lot, had some good food, rest time, traveling to and fro, Kentucky, Ohio, and back. Just really appreciated everyone. Got to meet some new friends, some old friends. Yeah. Had a great experience, but maybe on tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends with Marianne, as we read some of your stories, Memories of an
great
African Son, we can maybe talk and recap
sure.
that a little. But we have a special guest in the studio with us today, and I'm excited to see her. I've read some of her stories. She has a very cute picture, and I love your hair, Gladys. I don't know who does it, but it's very stylish,
awesome.
And it's the same. She looks like her picture in our Prime Lifetimes paper for the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne, you said, we got to get Gladys in. She's a great writer. She's known in the community. She's active. She's involved, a faithful follower of Jesus, and so we appreciate so many aspects or levels of her expertise. A U of I grad, involved in many things. So, Marianne, how about you introducing her.
Oh.
And then tell us a little why you said, Mark, she'd be a great one to have in the studio.
Okay, I will do that. Well, first of all, I have to say I am so pleased to have Gladys here. I love her. Gladys and I are family.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother, Ron's, one of his daughters, Karen, is married to Gladys's oldest son, Theodric.
Mm-hmm.
And they have they're fantastic people.
They are.
They have a great family, Mari and Michael. So I'm glad to read about all her other qualifications, but she was a phenomenal mother and friend.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read a little longer version of what we put in the paper as your byline. It's a little more complete. Gladys D. Hunt has worked for over 30 years in the Champaign County community, serving in various capacities, including that of social services coordinator at the Francis Nelson Health Center for the Medically Underserved in Champaign, senior citizens employment coordinator for the Seniors in Community Service Program, a federally funded employment program for senior citizens, Assistant Executive Director for the Housing Authority of Champaign County. On-site, wow, this is long. On-site, amazing. On-site, Clinical Counselor for the Hope and for the Children's Adoption Program in Rantoul and Coordinator for Outreach and New Program Development for the University of Illinois Psychology Department. Ms. Hunt is a licensed minister. She's the lead case manager for Restoration Urban Ministries, which includes a church, a transitional housing ministry to the homeless, and a food and clothing pantry for the public. She supervises other case managers who manage from 60 to 100-plus homeless individuals and families each year. Hunt earned her master's in social work from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in 1989. Wow.
And this is just like a thumbnail
of
some of the things.
I know
you're very active at Restoration Urban Ministries.
Yes.
You sit on different committees. I think you're doing something with the 4th of July parade.
Yes.
We talked about some other things she's involved in.
Yeah.
I think you just sold your home and you're in the transition of going to Alaska and trying to finalize some things and a busy schedule and workload. But you have a lot of enthusiasm, a great smile, energy for life. And so maybe before we have you read a couple articles, because I think we're going to read a story you wrote for the April edition of the Prime Lifetimes in May, maybe give us a glimpse into your life or maybe some of your faith journey, how you've seen God prove faithful and why you follow him and why you write as you write. Is that a bit of a tall order?
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, God has just been so good to me. Mm. And just like my bio, I'm going to just focus on a bit of it where God has just wrought miracles in my life.
Mm.
And my health kind of failed about 10 or so years ago. And my kidneys failed me. And so I went on dialysis for 5 years. And during that time, my doctors kept saying, you've got to get the kidney transplant. You've got to get this kidney transplant. And I was kind of reluctant, although I just didn't like being on dialysis because it rules your life. It really does.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, you have to, you know, have your life around this schedule 3 or 4 times a week. And so my one doctor, he just kept, you know, pressuring. He didn't pressure me, but he kept saying, you know, you got a lot of life to live. You should consider this. And after the third time that they had called me, which is really miraculous. Many people don't get a call.
It's true.
But after the third time that they called me, I said yes. And so when they were taking me in for the operation, they had prepped me and everything. I heard God say, prepare your body. And I prayed with people. I did a virtual communion over the phone with my best friend who was in Tennessee at the time. And so I just said, okay. And God put these words in my mouth. He said, body, we are receiving a new member. I want you to receive her. I want you to love her. Don't fight her. She has an important job to do for us. So receive her and love her and take care of her. And I went under. I went under for the operation. This was at Barnes Hospital in St. Louis. And so when I came out of the operation and I woke up, the doctors, they were amazed. They told me I was the second fastest kidney operation. Now, you know Barnes Medical Center.
Yeah.
They do tremendous work all over the world.
Yeah.
They told me I was the second fastest.
Wow.
And they said, usually it takes a day or two for the body to, you know, get accustomed to,
acclimate.
Yeah.
They said my kidney started working as soon as they made the first connection.
Oh, my.
On the operating table. That kidney was working. And my recovery was amazing. This all happened in 2010. And my kidney is doing amazing. The last time I went to my kidney doctor, he said it's still doing 60%. And the kidney's only supposed to do 50%. But mine is doing 60%. Just miraculous.
Praise
God.
Interesting how God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus, you know, who's created you, what they say, that the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that it got your mind and heart to be receptive and open, and that, you know, I wrote down the words, prepare your body.
God told me, prepare your body. And
I
thought I was prepared. I'd prayed. People from my church had come to the hospital and prayed with me, but God knew what else needed to be included. He knew that my body needed to know something was happening here and how to receive it and accept it. It was just amazing.
Now, do you come from a family or a background or a tradition of trusting in God? What was some of that faith journey?
Well, my faith journey, my parents never took me to church. So I didn't really grow up so much with a faith journey. But there was this little lady that lived next door to us. And I really liked the movie War Room. Because the little lady that lived next door to us, her name was Miss Clara.
Okay.
So there was this Miss Clara in War Room. And so Miss Clara used to come, and my mother's name was Gladys as well. She would say, Gladys, get those kids ready. I'm going to take them to Sunday school.
Get those kids ready.
Get those kids ready. I come from a family of 11. And she would say, get those kids ready. I want to take them to Sunday school. And she took us on a regular basis to Sunday school. So that was my introduction to Jesus, to God, and where I began to develop a personal relationship. And once that happened, in the community, there were churches that would have vacation Bible school. So I would run to these vacation Bible schools as a kid. You know, they would have refreshments like juice and cookies. That always drew the kids. But I wanted to know more about this Jesus that they were talking about. So even as a kid, I developed a relationship with the Lord. But I myself did not come and commit myself to the Lord until I was about 30. And I was going through some things, and I'll tell this story. I was having my fifth son, and my husband was there, and a nurse from Parkland was there. And my labor had gone on way too long, way too long. And they had fallen asleep in the room. And so I was not going to anybody's church. My relationship with Christ, I still had one, but I hadn't really trusted in him and started going to church. Because in my community, I sort of saw churches where the pastor ran off with the secretary and this happened and that. And I thought to myself, these people are crazy playing with God. And so I thought all churches were like that. So I hadn't really joined a church. And so after everyone had fallen asleep, I sat up on the side of the bed and I said, God, something's wrong. Mm. This was my fifth child, so I knew something was wrong. I said, please, God, please save me and my child. Mm.
Oh.
And so I finally had to have a C-section. My son was born okay. And the doctors came to the side of my bed and they said, whew, we didn't know if we were going to. Mm. We didn't know if we were going to, you know, if you were going to live or not. And I'm looking at them with my eyes wide open. What?
Yeah.
They said, yeah, because there was, I had an infection and it, my temperature would rise every day. Mm-mm. And they were reluctant to bring the baby to me. Well, what had happened was somehow I got an infection during all of this.
Yeah.
And so they had to call in a specialist.
Wow.
And they gave me this medication and I got okay. But when they came to my bedside and I found out I was that close to death, it really shocked me.
Yeah.
But I got saved. A person that I worked with, and this is for people in the workplace.
Sure.
A person in the workplace where I worked at this one job, she kept asking me to go to church.
Uh-huh.
And I would just ignore her and ignore her. But God had a purpose in mind. So I was really going through at one point, and I approached her. I said, can I go to church with you this Friday? And so I went to church, and that, you know, my journey with Christ started there.
Right. Oh.
But Christ took me back and reminded me of all the times that he had done these things. He really reminded me about my son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because really, I think if I had not sat on the side of the bed and prayed that prayer to ask God to help me and to save me and my son, I think we both would have died.
Oh.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And God brought that back to mind to me.
How many of us are familiar with that footprints in the sand?
Yes.
And when we look back and we see that's when the Lord carried us there.
Powerful story.
And I love your sharing the two things, well, many things, but the Miss Clara, how many Miss Claras are out there today that feel like, well, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, and yet they're the ones that will cart the neighbor children to church or help or provide that fragrance of Christ or that example or just loving them toward the kingdom.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the workplace, I'm so passionate about, you know, those
of us
in the marketplace can be influencers for the Lord and can be used in unique and creative and God-honoring ways.
Absolutely.
And
there will be times when it looks like people are ignoring us or they're not listening. They're listening. They're listening. And when their back is against the wall or when things happen that they need help, God will bring it back to their remembrance, and they will do that. But Miss Clara was the first person I called when I got saved. I called and said, Miss Clara, Miss Clara, and shared that with her. And I praise God she was still alive to hear those seeds that you planted so many years ago.
Wow.
When I was a child, they've come to fruition.
Wow.
And, you know, just giving God the glory and thanking God that Miss Clara would come to our house and say, get those kids ready. I'm taking them to Sunday school.
Well, we're having a little revival here in the
Greatness
Radio Center. And we didn't know quite where. We were just getting to know each other and meeting each other. And primarily we wanted to have you in because you've written some great content and you've participated in the Prime Lifetimes editions the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's been a joy.
Now, was there somebody that, I won't say pushed you or recommended or encouraged you to take up your gift of writing and share? How did this all work or be fanned into something that's really, it's good articles, it's helpful, it's interesting?
Mm-hmm. Well, God has given me the gift of writing. Even when I was going through school, through the college, through the university, I would have professors come to me and say, you know, you can really write. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I just thought, okay, I didn't think, you know, much about it.
Yeah.
And Mary Ann actually inspired me. She wrote a book.
Oh.
And I thought, oh man, I should write a book.
Yes,
and
you
I'd been working a little bit on it, but not really giving it a lot. And she wrote this book. I said, man. And so I contacted her, and we talked about writing a book and how I could do it. And she gave me some information about, you know, writing and book companies and that kind of thing. And she was the one that called me and said, Gladys, or she sent me an email and said, Gladys, how would you like to write some articles for the Prime Lifetimes? And I said, yes, I'd love it.
I'm so glad you have.
Well, let's read one. Do you want to do April or May?
Yeah. Oh, that's hard. Okay, which one do you want to do? It's up to you, Gladys.
Let's do April.
Okay.
Okay. The Many Ways of Home Ownership by Gladys D. Hunt.
There have been many stories in the local and national news during the past couple of years or so about mini homes. What are they, and why are they important? As homelessness has become a serious issue in our nation, affordable mini homes are becoming a viable option for low to moderate income individuals and small families. Mini homes are cropping up in communities across our nation in Portland, Seattle, Detroit, Chicago, and Reno, Nevada, among other cities. Mini homes usually comprise about 500 square feet or less of living space, and they include all the usual amenities of a regular home, but on a smaller scale. These homes are becoming so popular that there are many models on the market. They appeal not only to those who are purchasing a home for the first time, but to many retirees and senior citizens who are downsizing to more functional and adequate living space. Here in East Central Illinois, Restoration Urban Ministries started working on mini home ownership and mini home building several years ago. Many agencies, businesses, and individuals came together along with the ministry in a collaborative effort to make this first home a reality. In partnership with volunteers, contractors, church members, and the city of Champaign, they have now completed their first mini home, located at 410 West Maple in Champaign, and they will soon put it on the market. Reverend Irvin Williams has nurtured this vision for a long time. This will provide a home ownership process for many people who can say this is their own. And Williams, during an open house with the city officials and community members, he stated that rather than renting, they can invest in their own affordable home and start building equity for their family's future.
Please see Home A16. So as we turn to that page, we'll continue with this article titled The Many Ways of Home Ownership. If you just tuned in, this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. If you missed our introduction of who Gladys Hunt is and some of her faith journeys, log on to greatnewsradio.org and click on our archive programs page.
And since we're all looking at the words right here and others are listening, we should have said that many is M-I-N-I.
Yes.
Small. Many homes. Yes. Not many.
Yes. Yeah. And the pun was intended.
Yeah. That was great. That was a great call, Gladys.
Although this is the first mini home, Reverend Williams said they envision building 40 of these homes throughout the community, building upon the same community and governmental partnerships that produced the first one. If we work together as a community, we can put a serious dent and the problem of home ownership, he says. People who could not afford to buy a home in the past can now make real progress toward their goal of home ownership. Mm. There was an open house last month to showcase the home to the public. However, if people are interested in the project or would like to see the home, they can call the ministry at area code 217-355-2662 and ask for the assistant director, Bonnie, or they can ask for Reverend Williams himself.
And again, that phone number is 217-355-2662. Read all about it in last month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the April edition. And thank you, Gladys. Let's try to fit in. We may have enough time for the other article. Let's just start reading it. This is in this month's edition, the May edition of the Prime Life Times, accessible at over 150 area locations. Actually, at the end of this month, we'll be having our dinner club at Yoder's in Arthur.
Oh,
so
I know.
Anytime.
I woke up this morning. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, on the 29th. Yeah, because you mentioned, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have breakfast down there? And so the dinner club will go breakfast, lunch, or dinner anytime between 7 a.m. or 8 p.m. But be sure to mention you're there for the Great News Radio Prime Life Times dinner club, and they'll give 10% of your total food costs back to the ministry.
Hey, so we should get a menu and read that
Okay.
Ann's House, the place we call home. The number of incarcerated women in the United States has risen dramatically in recent years. According to federal figures, about 207,000 women were held in prisons or jails in 2009, an increase of 33% since the year 2000. Hmm. with this rise in the number of women in the criminal justice system, communities have had to deal with these women returning to the communities they left. In addition, women tend to have risk factors upon returning that are different from those of men, simply because many of the women are single parents. Because this increase began as early as 2000, how have communities been dealing with the return of these women? Does it look any different from men returning? One local effort in Champaign, Ann's House, the place we call home, was started in 2015 by Evangelist Elorce Nash, CEO and founder of Abundant Life in Christ II, Inc. After successfully dealing with her own hurt, pain, and substance abuse through Christ, Lady Nash, as she is fondly called it, had a passion to help other women grow, heal, and become self-sufficient. So she started reaching out to women in public housing. Feeling led by God, Nash started volunteering at places such as the Champaign County Jail and the Dwight Correctional Center for incarcerated women, holding Bible studies and one-on-one session with female inmates, and encouraging these women to trust Jesus with their situation.
Amen.
Her passion to help women in these circumstances grew deeper after she heard stories of how women feared returning to the same environment, the same unhealthy environment, that had led them to jail. Some considered this return to be a major culprit in recidivism, a growing problem with our prison system. It was then Nash sensed a call to actually take steps to open a house for women on parole or probation. Abundant Life in Christ II Incorporated, a 501c3 organization, was born and has expanded to include a home for women in transition from jail or prison. Lady Nash named the home Ann's House in honor of her mother, Annie L. Priester. Programs and services includes Jobs for Life, Christian Women with Conviction, a support group, and U-Turn Reentry, the Speak Cafe. The home can house up to two women, no children, who come directly from corrections or jails, or who are already in the community not more than 6 months from release. Our program is faith-based and provides an intensely structured environment, explains Nash. It is a place the ladies call home. Ann's House addresses basic individual and social needs while ministering to each woman's deeper spiritual needs. Nash further explains that our mission at Ann's House is to share the message of love, compassion, and hope in Jesus Christ through faith-based and traditional, as well as non-traditional, intensive outreach initiatives. Our goal is to help reduce recidivism and homelessness, restore dignity, and reunite families. Our vision is to see women learn to trust Christ, looking to Him to help while becoming whole, self-sufficient, and productive members of society. Ann's House also partners with and has supportive relationships with New Hope Church of God in Christ, where Lady Nash's husband, the Reverend Charles L. Nash, is pastor. Restoration Urban Ministries, Salt and Light, Rosecrans, and the City of Champaign, among other organizations. Lady Nash's final words during our interview were, "To God be the glory."
Amen.
And to that I say, amen.
Amen and amen. Gosh, we're out of time.
Wow.
So much more to say. I love this article.
I do too.
Love how you're featuring different stories and ways for our Great News Radio listeners and Prime Lifetimes readers to get involved and be supportive. A great work that Lady Nash is doing.
Amen.
What a great
amen.
Nickname.
Oh.
And we'll just have to have you back
yeah.
in the future. Appreciate all that you're doing. We're going to be praying you up and ask our listeners to pray up all the things you're juggling, the way you're infusing or representing Christ in the workplace, in your various ministries, and just the things you're doing. So thank you, Gladys, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And we look forward to future articles in July and August and the coming days.
Okay.
All right, everyone, read all about it in this month's Prime Life Times. Hear it again if you missed a portion of today's broadcast. It's archived at greatnewsradio.org. And we'll close out knowing that God's going to be in control of your day today. So draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you.
God's at work.
Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.